From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Common Space, a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY.
Welcome to Painting the Journey on Common Space. This is Jamie J, your host, and I'm here in the studio with
Elizabeth Perez Luna.
And we are talking today to Michelle Angela Ortiz. We asked you to come in to talk about immigrants in Philadelphia because of the amazing work you have been doing, gathering personal stories from immigrants and using those stories to create murals throughout the city. So can you talk to us a little bit about some of the projects that you've worked on?
I've been working as a visual artist and really focusing on narratives for now 17 years. And why I'm kind of drawn to the narratives is because I feel like I identify with some of the stories that are represented in the works that I do. I have been doing work specifically here in Philadelphia and then across the border as a U.S. cultural envoy, doing residencies with local artists, specifically in Juarez, Chihuahua City, Mexico City. That led into doing works with families that immigrated to Philadelphia that are immigrating specifically from Puebla. And then from that experience, I did another mural project, which was basically bringing in both perspectives of youth that immigrated here to Philadelphia and youth that remained in the border towns of Juarez and Chihuahua City. And that mural is called Aquí en Allá, which is in South Philadelphia.
And by the way, I spoke with Michelangela when she was building the mural Aquí y Allá, here and there, with a group of visiting Mexican artists. It's in South Philly. You can see it anytime.
So what we're seeing right now is the artists right now are currently working on the wall. You have a design that is actually based by, it's inspired by the Aztec calendar. You have these two circles that will represent a young lady who has arrived with the map of South Philadelphia behind her. And then you have, you're going to have a young boy that actually has a map that represents a mapping of Juarez and Chihuahua along with a specific map from Puebla, which is where most of the Mexican immigrants are coming from in Philadelphia. In 2015, which took about a year and a half of working in this project called Familias Separadas, and I created that project to really focus on the stories of deportation and how deportation affects undocumented families, specifically here in Philadelphia. And now I'm moving into being one of the participating artists for Monument Lab, and my focus will be working with the Shut Down Berks Coalition to tell the stories or highlight the stories and creating a monument to the mothers that are currently detained at the Berks Detention Center, which is a family prison that's had their license revoked, but is still functioning as a family prison for undocumented families about 40 minutes away from Philadelphia.
Your murals are all over the city, but they're always close to what's happening in the moment. It's about immigration, it's about deportation, it's about separated families. So I really think that muralism is storytelling. It remains as testimony to an experience, especially one as changing and as omnipresent as immigration. Murals present the narrative of recent American history in images and visual references accessible to all. It's American history in the making. So the people depicted in murals, in your murals, for instance, are real. We meet them in any street or store or in our own neighborhoods. We can relate to them and to their journeys.
So, Michelle, my question to you is why? Why are you committed to this work?
I think that when we think about stories and narratives, I can't ignore my own story. I am a child of immigrants. My mother is originally from Colombia, from Mompos, a small town, and my father's from Ciales, Puerto Rico. I come from a working-class family. We still live on the same block in South Philly, right by the 9th Street Market or Italian Market, although there are more than Italians there now. I still continue to live on that same block in my same neighborhood, right across the street from my parents. And so I'm not far removed from my own roots and my upbringing. And I remember as a young child you know, being that young child that had to translate documents, English to Spanish documents for my parents, witnessing how they also were discriminated against because of their accent, because of the color of their skin, because of our social class. And I was always really intrigued by these stories that my grandmother, who lived with us for over 35 years, Maria Dionisia, we called her Mama Icha, and we would hear, I would hear these stories. The first time I traveled to Colombia was at the age of 7. And prior to that, I just remember, and still ongoing, just hearing the stories in the kitchen over some cafecito and just listening, you know, the joys and the trials that they've experienced. My mother's side of the family is from the Caribbean coast of Colombia, where we have a lot of indigenous and African heritage, although some don't want to recognize that in my family at times, but I feel that understanding that story and listening to that story really helped me understand my parents much more than mom and dad, but as Epifania and Miguel Angel.
Tell us the story.
My mother, she's one of 6 children raised in Mompós in Colombia. She was only able to be in school until the age of 10 or 11. She would help my grandmother sell food, make food in the market. So we always lived near the market. So my grandmother actually washed iron clothes and did laundry for the local professionals. And my mother would sell the food that my grandmother would prepare the night before. There's this vision that I would see my mother as a young, skinny child with what we called poncheras, which are these large bowls that you put on top of your head, and just selling food early in the morning before going to school. She talked about having only one pair of shoes and how important it was for her to keep her clothing and her uniform clean. My grandmother talked about nights where she would only have one banana and have to cut it up and not feed herself, but make sure that her children were fed. They talked about moving from one house to another because they didn't have a roof over their head. And it wasn't until, I would say, until my grandmother came to the United States in 1981 to come and live with us, was then when she was able to, a little bit prior to that, to have a piece of land.
What do you think is the reason for the poverty that your grandmother and mother suffered in Colombia?
The reason for the poverty in Colombia is very similar to the reasons many Latin American countries are still facing. And when we look at immigration and we look at the stories of immigration, we look at my own personal story of why my mother felt the need that she had to leave at the age of 17, why my father felt that at 15 he had to leave also, are the lack of educational resources, the class and race issues that still exist, and not being able to have an opportunity to move forward, not necessarily even have a career, because unfortunately, and it shouldn't be this way, but I understand my own privilege in saying I want to be an artist. I want to study to be an artist, which was really amazing that I had 2 very supportive parents who would have said, no, be a lawyer or a doctor. That's what we came to this country for. So they're all really connected to a lot of the situations that the families still now are immigrating. And specifically in the projects that I've done with the families that I've worked with, it's not just about educational resources or work, but it's also really related to fleeing a situation of violence and where they feel that they're being persecuted. Suyapa, who is one of the family members that I interviewed for Familias Separadas, she left 2 of her sons behind in Honduras. She has 3 daughters here in Philadelphia, and she's still fighting her deportation case. But to make that decision as a mother, to think, okay, I can't take all of my children, and I'm also fleeing this very violent situation that I'm in. You know, it's heartbreaking, right? And so in her piece, Te Amo, which is the necklace piece that I installed in A Love Park, is really looking upon, like, let's not look so much at the statistics, because we become numbers very easily, right? So Yapa's a woman, she's a mother, beyond being undocumented, beyond fighting her deportation case, she's a mother who loves her children. And so what happens to love in the midst of immigration? When we look, we have a bigger view on immigration, or what I should say is like a more focused view on immigration. It's trying to understand the why. Why leave everything behind? Why come to a new country? Why you know, why start a new life in a new place that you're unaware? And also understanding that here, it's not that easy either. And so it's having that balancing. How are you able to move forward and how are you able to provide? And how important it is to tell our narrative, how important it is to have a painting, a sculpture, a print that then becomes an artifact, that becomes this physical representation of saying we exist and that we're here and that our stories are worthy of telling and worthy of remembering.
A couple of things that you said are really powerful. One is that everyone does have a voice and they have power. They just need a space in order to exercise it. I think also this idea of memory and you talking about how you want your son to remember where he came from. It made me wonder, is there a point where someone makes a conscious decision to forget their past? And what is the value of forgetting? Mm-hmm. Because if you're willing to turn your back on your immigrant history, whether it be forced or voluntary, that allows you to say, I'm not an immigrant, I'm an American, and you don't belong here.
Sometimes people want to forget their own narrative because of the pain that it might bring to them. I think that throughout my projects, there's been many moments, and that's why it's so important to build that trust. And to also, I'm so grateful in being in that space and being in front of a person who might not have told anyone this story, and it's the first time that they're telling it, and they're also sharing it with me. When we think about immigration, I'm actually working on a body of new work for my upcoming solo show. We also need to think about the family dynamic. So what happens to Maria and her relationship with her husband, where they're two countries apart, and the children that are here, their memories of their father growing up to a certain age and then not having their father. And in my case, it's my father coming to Philadelphia to be reunited with his family, my mother here also, and the tension that that brings, because there's also the assumptions on the other end of, well, you live in the United States, that means you have a lot of money, that means you have a lot. And it's true, we do have a lot more resources, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we're not struggling, right? I remember one moment when one of my cousins said, well, you have it easy over there. And I said, go to the living room and look at my father's hands and touch them. And you tell me if our life has been easy. My father's hands are big and rough and calloused. And so it's also breaking those stereotypes in Latin America.
Michelle Angela Ortiz, thank you so much for joining us here for Common Space. We so appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
You've been listening to Painting the Journey on Common Space. I'm your host, Jamie J, with WHYY's Elizabeth Perez Luna. Common Space is a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY, and it's been supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage.